Koftes Nissan, Tuesday the 3rd of May, by my Gabby Krushkel. What can go wrong making iron dribel, that's egg and onion, on Shabbos? A brief overview of some of the potential malachas involved.
Good morning. I would never believe this. I was just brought up around the corner, just to hang around these streets over here, riding my bike. Wouldn't have believed that such a chashuv organization thought the way the Torah day would be around the corner. And it's an honor for me to speak here. I hear that this is the organizational skills of Dudy Itzkovitz, and the pkiyus, which you all must be hearing by the sort of array of speakers, is phenomenal. The topic today is not how to make iron feeble, that we could leave to our wives, rather what to avoid whilst making iron feeble. What can potentially go wrong? Klal Yisrael was zoicha that we have a special fish on Shabbos called gefilte fish. Gefilte fish partially evolved due to the problems of boira whilst eating fish, there's bones and fish, and to avoid the problem of boira, which we will soon describe, which is if you take out the bones from the fish, gefilte fish evolved boneless. You won't be having any problems. I and Zwiebel never was like it's such an honor, and therefore there's a potential to be nifshal in a few melachas each and every Shabbos whilst preparing your iron feeble, your egg and onion. Therefore it's important for us to understand first what melachas one can be over and how to prevent us doing so. So that there'll be four melachas which are potential that we can be nifshal in each time we prepare iron feeble. They are boira, toichen, loshem, abed. We will have time today certainly to go through boira, and the others are at least give a brief definition on how to avoid them. It will be necessary first to give an introduction on a couple of basic principles which are negea to preparing iron feeble. Basic principles on Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, it says in this week's parsha, Sheshes yomim te'yosem melacha. 6 days you're supposed to do melacha. On Shabbos it's forbidden for a person to do melacha. What's the definition of malacha? What's forbidden to do on Shabbos? Malacha. What does malacha mean? So the literal translation, people understand, would translate, malacha means a difficult work, an effort, a work with ticha. However, that's not the case. We all know on Shabbos, sometimes we could do things which are big ticha. Sometimes it's a big ticha to go to Shabbos mincha after the challenge. We could do things with ticha. What's forbidden to do on Shabbos? What's the definition of malacha? So in order to answer this, we first have to define why is it forbidden to do melacha on Shabbos. The reason why it's forbidden to do melacha on Shabbos, we say every Friday night, v'shomru v'nei Yisrael on Shabbos. Why do v'nei Yisrael keep Shabbos? Ki sheshes yomim osa Hashem es Hashem es Haaretz. Hashem created the world in 6 days and 6 nights. On the seventh day Hashem rested. Keeping Shabbos, the reason why we keep Shabbos is to commemorate that Kodesh Baruch Hu rested from doing the melacha 6 days. That's why we rest on doing malacha. What malacha did HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop doing on the seventh day? No effort, no ticha, there's no ticha in front of Hashem. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped the Yetzirah. There was Sheshes made my abrasions, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, there was a creation taking place. On the seventh day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped the Maisi Yetzirah. Therefore, the malacha which we don't do on Shabbos, we don't do a Maisi Yetzirah, we don't do an act of creativity. The 39 malachas are all different principles of Yetzirah, of creativity. And each one of and that's what's forbidden to do on Shabbos. For example, bishul. If you're cooking on Shabbos, there's not much of a melacha. There's not much effort in your puller. You're putting a pot on the fire, and the fire is going to cook it by itself. Rather, there's an act of yitzira taking place. You're transforming an edible food and making it edible. That act of yitzira is a melacha bishul. Each one of the 39 melachas will have their definition of yitzira. And once we define the definition of Yitzirah, each of the 39 Melachos will be able to apply to different cases. That's the first introduction. The second introduction into Melechos Shabbos, before we get to applying it to Ayin Tzivul, is it's Yidua that the Melechos of Shabbos have to fulfill the criteria, the condition of Melechos Machsheves. They have to be Melechos Machsheves in order that they should be considered Melacha. That means you could do the same malacha on Shabbos. If it doesn't fulfill the criteria, the conditions of Melechus Mashavas, you won't be chayv in HaTorah. You'll still be asked to grab on. What does it mean? What does Melechus Mashavas mean? So there are two parts to Meleches Machsheves. Melech and Shabbos has to be Meleches Machsheves. Firstly, Meleches Machsheves means Meleches Machsheves, Meleches Chashuva, has to be an important, high level Melech. The second part of Meleches Machsheves is that it has to be Meleches Machsheves, Meleches with Machshava, has to be a Melech with the correct intentions. Brief example. On the first part of Meleches Machsheves, has to be a melacha chashuva. That means you could do a regular melacha on Shabbos, but if it's not chashuva, you won't be chayiv in a Torah. For example, if you do the melacha in a distracted manner, so you're doing a regular melacha, but it's in a distracted manner, or you're doing a regular melacha, it's pachs mikasheir, for example. It's not the right quantity. So the melacha is a regular, is a normal melacha. It just lacks the machshavas aspect, and in fact, it's not chashuv melacha. If someone does a melacha in that way, that means it isn't the right shei, or it's pashinui. For example, someone's carrying on Shabbos on his elbow or something. So he's doing a regular melacha v'etzah. He's doing a regular melacha. What's the difference? It's not a chashuv way of doing a melacha. That is one exemption of the from the condition of melacha v'shavas. The second exemption, which is negated to us, is it has to be a melacha v'shavas, a melacha with machshava, with the correct intention. I mean, sometimes you could be doing the melacha in its normal fashion. It's the melacha chashuva. It has got the regular quality of the melacha, but you don't have the correct intention, such as einam miskaven, misasek, or melacha she'ena tzrich legufa, which is the one which we will explain right now. If someone does a melacha on Shabbos, it's a melacha she'ena tzrich legufa, he won't be chayav in atoyah. What does melacha she'ena tzrich legufa mean? Melacha she'ena tzrich legufa is where you're doing the melacha, but you don't need the idea of the melacha. The classical example the Gemara gives, someone digs a pit, he digs a bone, only needs the earth. What's the problem? Why can't we dig a pit on Shabbos? What, if you dig a pit on Shabbos, what is the issa? Well, it depends. If someone's digging a hole right next to his house and he wants to extend, that digging a hole is boina, building. If someone's digging a hole in his vegetable patch and wants to plant, that would be charisha. What happens if someone's digging a hole and he has no intention neither to build or to plant? So then, the only reason why he's digging is he wants the earth. So he's digging, he's doing the melacha, he's doing the same melacha, he's doing the same quality, the full shea, he's doing the regular way he's digging, but he's lacking the intention to dig for boina. To dig, that's a melacha, she'ainet shei l'gufa, he's doing the melacha, he doesn't need it for the gufa melacha, which they did in the Mishkan, which they dug for boina. The melacha is, you're not chayiv on Shabbos. Now, for you, it's the last minute one. Okay. So now, this will lead us to a problem by Boira. We're going to give now a brief definition of Boira, and then we'll see how it will apply to Ayin Svivel. Boira, what is the principle? We said each melacha has a principle of its own. What is the yisoid of the melacha of Boira? Where did Boira take place in the Mishkan? Well, we have a Mishnah in Shabbos to find out. The Mishnah lists all 39 melachas. Where is Boira mentioned? So the Tana brought down the first 11 of melachas of the 39 melachas. The Tana mentioned in a fashion where it's easy to remember. It's called the Sidura de Pas. This is the bread making process. Zerea, Chayrish, Kaitse, Ma'ame. That means you sow, and you sow the seeds, you plow the field, you reap the wheat. Then what do you do? What's the next thing you do? You dosh, you want to separate the wheat from the stalks and the chaff. Then you're going to do Zerea, you're going to winnow it, that the light chaff should float away. And you can be left now, the heavy kernels will float back down, will fall back down to the ground, and get mixed with the gravel on the farmyard. Okay, so now we got a problem. Someone is trying to make bread. If he'll take all the wheat the way it is with the gravel, is a potential danger. Especially if someone's going to be a Bechem Mitzrayim and they'll end up to the gravel in the bread, could be fatal, right? So what should he do? The people used to take out the stones from the wheat and then take the wheat and grind it, turn it into flour. That is the melacha boira. The melacha boira is taking out when you got a pile of wheat and you got the stones, the psoiles. In mixed within it, you want to take out the psoiles, you want to remove the impurities and purify the mixture. That is the melacha of Boira. Melacha Boira is removing the psoiles. Based upon what we just described, that melacha she'en tzricha legufa, if someone does a melacha, but he has no need for the melacha, that means he's digging a hole, he's no need for the boina, he just needs earth, you're not chayav in atoira, we're going to have a problem. How could Boira ever be forbidden in atoira? What's Boira, we said? The melacha is you're taking out the stones from the mixture. You have no need for the stones. You want to throw away the stones. You don't want the stones. It should be a melacha. Every Boira should be a melacha, which you need to see for gufa. You're taking out the stones and you have no need for them. Why are you ever going to be chayav on Boira? So we're going to have two approaches, the Ramban and the Balamoi. The Palamoy says, you know why it's Chayv on Boira? Despite the fact that Melacha Boira is taking out the impurities, taking out the Psoilas, they have no need for them. Because that's the way it was on the Mishkan. Despite the fact they have no need for the stones, if that's the way it was on the Mishkan, you'll be Chayv. That means, when do we say Melacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa? If you have no need for the Melacha. When do we say that's not considered Melacha? When in the Mishkan, they dug a hole and they needed they did it for Binyan. When you're not doing it for Boina, when the reason why you're digging a hole is for a different purpose, then you didn't fulfill the criteria or the intention that you had in the Mishkan. Then it's not Melech Shabbos and anyone be Chayv in Torah. However, when in the Mishkan, the time Melacha that was done in such a way, you will be Chayv. So it comes out, according to the Balamoy, the definition of Melacha is the way we describe it till now. Boira is taking out the stones from the mixture. The Ramban says no. If the definition of Boira would be to take the stones out of the mixture, the impurities out of the bones out of the fish, the shells out of the nuts, that would be a Melacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa, because you have no need for the part of taking out. Rather, when the Melacha of Boira is being miyapa the taruvos, it's cleansing the taruvos. That means that when you have a mixture of let's say you got of peanuts and shells, so the Melacha is not taking out the shells because you have no need for the shells. The Melacha is cleansing that the rest is nisyapa. What's the simple difference between the Balamoy and the Ramban, and then we'll be able to apply it? The difference between the Ramban and Balamoy is why, because someone's got a big pile of soilus and oichel. For example, he's got fish and there's a lot of bones inside. He removes one bone, one piece of soilus. So according to Balamoy, the Melacha of Boira is removing the psoilus. You've fulfilled you've done the Melacha, you have removed the psoilus. According to Ramban, who says the Melacha is not removing the psoilus, it's being miyapa the tarubas, is that you've cleansed, the rest of the tarubas is now cleansed. You haven't done so, because there's still many bones remaining in the fish. So then, you could argue you won't be chayv. There's one final condition necessary for Boira, which is, Boira will only apply if there is a taroibus, if there's a mixture. For example, if at home in your kitchen cupboard you've got a box of cereal and a bottle of oil on two different sides of the cupboard, so then there's no problem, you can take anyone you want. There's no Boira thing, they say I'm mixed. Boira will only apply when there's a mixture. Mixture either means it intermingles, such as nuts and raisins, or if the two parts are attached. If you have two parts attached to each other, such as fish and bones, then that's considered a mixture, and you cannot remove the psoilus. The Gemara says, however, there is a way how to do Boira on Shabbos. There is a way how you're allowed to, if you have a mixture of stuff which you don't want, psoilus and stuff which you don't want, there's one way how you're allowed to do Boira on Shabbos. What's the way? The way is put on the locha if you fulfill three conditions. What are the three conditions? If you take the oichel from psoilus, if you take it with your hand, that means you don't use a cleat to separate them, and you do it for the altar, for immediate usage. Then you're allowed to do Boira. The question is why? Why, if you fulfill these three conditions, are you allowed to do Boira? Are we allowed to do any other malach if you do the altar? Are you allowed to put on the light for immediate usage? Are you allowed to cook chima to lefe, so by the Gemara asks? Why by Boira is it different? Why by Boira, if you fulfill these three conditions, are you allowed to do Boira? So there's an argument between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rashi says the reason why it's mutter is because it's a shinoi. The normal way to separate wheat and stones was to use a sifter. Use a kli. When you're using a hand, that constitutes a shinoi. That's a different way, and a lot than regular way of doing it. Albeit that shinoi is generally forbidden with Rabbanon, but this will be a shinoi gomo. According to Rashi, it's a shinoi. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's a different approach. The reason why, if you fulfill these three conditions, you're allowed to do Boira, is because it doesn't have a shame melacha. The Taz really asked the question, every time we're eating food from our plate, why is that not Boira? Unless you have one dish on your plate. Once you have two dishes, you're always choosing. Why is that not Boira to eat from a plate? You're always choosing. The answer is that the Torah never forbid a person to eat. The Torah forbid a person to do melacha. When a person fulfills these three conditions, he's taking the oichel, he's taking the food he wants. He's taking it for immediate usage, and he's taking it with his hands. That is the way you eat. You eat the oichel immediately, and you don't use an industrial kli to eat. So, if you don't fulfill all the three conditions, that won't be derech achila. For example, if a person is taking the psoilus, even if he's doing it for immediate usage, he's taking it with his hand, you don't eat the psoilus. That's not the way you eat. If a person takes the person takes, for example, the oifel, but it's not for immediate usage. That's not the way you eat. You don't eat you eat immediately. You don't take it later on. And finally, if a person takes the oifel for immediate usage, but he's doing it with a sifter, that's not the way you eat either. According to Rav Chanan, if you fulfill all three criteria, that is the way you eat. And therefore, it hasn't got a shei melacha. That's the heter. The obvious difference between Rashi and Rav Chanan will be, do you have to fulfill all three conditions to make a mutter? According to Rashi, you don't. According to Rashi, the heter is because when you're doing a shinui, as long as you're doing one of them, you've done a shinui. According to Rav Chanan, you've got to fulfill all three criteria. Okay, now let us apply. We've given introductions to Hilchos Shabbos, now we can apply them. You have your egg and onion. So the first stage in making egg and onion is you've got to shell your egg and peel your onion. Now we explained that if you have a tarovus, a mixture, the only way to take out the only way to separate on Shabbos is if you fulfill all three criteria. You take the oichel, the stuff you do want, you're taking it for immediate usage, and you're doing it with your hand. We said one of the definitions of a tarovus is if the two parts are stuck together. So you have a peel stuck to the onion and a shell stuck to the egg. That is a tarovus. The only way to be able to separate them would be if you do familiar usage with your hand, you take the oichel from the sinus. But that's not possible with the shell. With shell, by definition, the shell is surrounding the food. You're always going to have to take away the psoilus. So we're going to encounter a problem. The first stage, when we're about to make egg and onion salad, we're going to have a problem. How are we going to be able to peel on Shabbos our eggs and onions? You're taking the psoilus away from the oichel, and it's a tarovus. For this problem, Hilchos Purim is put in Siman Shimon Tes. This problem, the Rama addresses in two simanim later, in Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yud Tes, the final Sif. He says that it is permitted to peel a fruit or an egg on Shabbos if it's for immediate usage. The question is how we understand that. Why is it permitted for immediate usage? There's a boyer, there's a tarovus taking place, and you need to fill all three conditions. One of the conditions was you take the oichel from the psoilus. Here, you're taking the shell, the psoilus, away from the oichel. The answer is, the Bi'ah Halacha over there explains, why did we say that you have to fulfill all three criteria? What was the reason why when you took the psoilus, if you take the psoilus from the oichel, you take the bones away from the fish, so to speak, that there was a problem of boira? Because that's a shame halacha, that's not the way you eat. You don't eat the bones. If you take the fish, that's derech achila. If you take the bones, that's not derech achila. If the only way to get to the food is by removing the psoilus, there's no other way, that's derech achila, that's the way you eat. That hasn't got a shame halacha. So when you have an egg surrounded by a shell, since there's no way of getting to the egg other than peeling the shell, in such a circumstance, this is one of the exceptions where you're allowed to take away the psoilus by boira. You're allowed to take out the psoilus because that won't give it a shame halacha. When you take away the psoilus and that's the only way to get the food, that is considered derech achila. Therefore, on Shabbos, we're allowed to take the peel off the egg, we're allowed to peel the egg and shell and take the peel off the onion, as long as we fill the condition, it's the other two conditions, eating with your hand and the altar for immediate usage. If a person will peel the egg and it won't be for immediate usage, there'll be an act of boira. So we always want to make sure the first thing when we're paying the egg and onion Shabbos that we're doing it for the altar, immediate usage. What's the definition of the altar? It's a machlokes to show him halach lemaisa, the way Moshe Feinstein defines it and the Eichel Shabbos, the hanging of place, and they define the altar. But the altar means in the time that it takes to prepare the oncoming Suda. That means it's subjective. Let's say someone's making a Suda Shloima Melech B'Shaito. He's making an 8-course Suda. It's taking him 3 hours to prepare. He's got to lay the table, he's got to clean the room, he's got to prepare all the dishes. He's allowed to do his boira, obviously fulfilling the other two criteria. He's taking the oichel and he's doing it with a hand. He's allowed to do it, the first thing on his list, that it's going to take him 3 hours to prepare the meal, he's allowed to do it 3 hours before. If he's rushing for Shal Shudas, it's almost the Zman, he got 2 minutes to prepare Shal Shudas, then he can only do it 2 minutes before. That means the first stage of preparing egg and onion, where you're peeling the egg or peeling the onion, you're allowed to do so, despite the fact that you're taking away the psoilus, but it has to fulfill the criteria, it has to be done after. Okay. Potential problem number two. Your wife has peeled the onions and peeled the eggs, she's mashed them, and you discover inside your egg and onion a piece of shell. Piece of shell. What are you going to do now? Right? It's not very appealing. And imagine you haven't reached that level of shalom bayis where you can't swallow everything your wife does. So then you're going to have a problem. You can't take out this piece of the shell. That's psoilus. You can't take out this psoilus from the oichel, and you won't have the heter of peeling an egg. Because peeling an egg, we say, is only permitted because that's the only way to get the food. Over here, there's theoretically a different way. You could remove all the egg and be left with a shell. So what are you going to do over here? Okay, you could take away all the egg and be left with a shell. That's not very practical. What are we going to do? So here we're going to have a new heter. This is the heter which we could bring down the Makor. If we extend the story of Haman Achashverosh, this could be the Makor. Haman told Achashverosh, your sire, the Jews, they hate you. If you would touch, your Royal Highness would touch their glass of wine they pour out, but this ugly little blue bottle would fall in a cup of wine, they take a spoon, scoop it out and drink it. So Achashverosh said, you have a lake, you have to see my... You don't know, they can't. If it be Shabbos, they can't do that. You can have a tarabus, you can have a fly mixed with the wine, they can't take out the fly, that's soilless. You can't take out the soilless lethal. Someone answer that, my grandchildren are not in Brak. I'll tell you what, they can take out on Shabbos, as long as they're taking the fly with a little bit of wine and a spoon, they can take it out. Okay, what's going on here? This is the heter, when you have a mixture on Shabbos of soilless and lethal, you can take out the soilless with mixas oichel. Why? This is brought down, the final test, and the Simchanian test brings down the setter. That means, once again, you could have a mixture, let's say you could have fish and bones, as long as you're not taking the bone out by itself, you're taking the bone with a little bit of fish, you could take out the fish and the bones. Why is that so? Why isn't it going to be mutter? So, let's assume that you have a loaf of challah, and one end is a little bit charred. You got any, right? So, since this it's one piece and stuck together, we said that's a tarogus. If you cut off all the good challah, so it'll only be mutter if to cut off the burnt edge is forbidden. Let's take away the soilus. To cut away all the good challah that is permitted, if it'll be for media usage, the altar. What happens if you want to cut one piece of challah from the good end? Does it have to be the altar? Can you cut it in the morning for challah shulus? Yes, you can. Why is that not considered taking boira? They're taking away the challah from the tarivus. The answer is, they're not taking away the challah from the tarivus. You're just cutting a piece of challah from, you're cutting the food in half. If you're removing all the challah and you're just left with a charred bit by the end, that would be separating the tarovus and taking away the oichel. But as long as you take this oichel left on the other side, you're just cutting the oichel in half. That's not considered the act of prayer of Bichlal. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah understood the Taz. So he says, when you're taking the fly with a little bit of wine, you're not separating the oichel from the psoilus. Rather, what are you doing? You're splitting the wine in half. And so there's no problem to split wine in half. In one half the wine, there'll be a fly with some wine. So therefore, that's how the Mishnah Berurah understands that the heter of taking, you'll have to remove psoilus and shabbos to the mixer cycle. The Chaznish argues on this whole premise. He says, who are you kidding? You're not trying to split your wine in half. You're taking the fly out with a little bit of wine. If you pour half your wine out with a fly, that would be perhaps considered like splitting your wine in half. But this, the Chaznish argues on the whole premise. There's no heter to take a fly to take a psoilus out with a mixer cycle. Why, how does the Chazanish explain the Taz? Why does the Taz permit you to take the fly out of a bit of wine? He explains, because the fly in the wine is not considered mixed. That's not a tarevus. Remember, one of the criteria of Boira was that the two things have to be mixed. Here, the fly is doing backstroke on top. It's floating on top. It's clearly visible. There's nothing, the fly is not mixed with the whole wine. The only part of wine, it says, which is mixed with the fly, is the wine which is between the wings and between its antennas and follicles, that wine. So when you're taking this spoonful of wine with a fly, you remove the entire tarovus. You haven't separated the tarovus. Okay, applying this, it comes out. There's a machlokes between the Chaznish and Mishnah Berurah. Can you, if you have a mixture of oichel and psoilus, can you take out the psoilus with a little bit of oichel? You have your shell in your egg. Can you take out the shell if you take a little bit of egg with it? Mishnah Berurah holds you can. Chaznish holds you shouldn't. We go with Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah holds, so therefore, if you find a little bit of shell in your egg, make sure you don't remove it on its own. Take out with a little bit of egg. That was the boira aspect. The next aspect is mashing. You're going to mash your egg and chop your onions. Okay, this will take us to the problem of toifen. What's the melacha of toifen? The melacha of toifen was you ground your wheat to transform into flour. So what's the principle of yitzira? Like we introduced in the beginning, every melacha needs its element of yitzira. What have you done by grinding flour? What's the melacha? There's a big change taking place. If you try and water a kernel of wheat, it'll sprout. If you water flour, it'll turn into dough. So you've transformed it. By grinding a piece of wheat, you've transformed you've given it a new usage. That's the melach of toichen. The way the Rambam defines the melach of toichen, you take a guf echot and you break it into gufum habe. theoretically, there shouldn't be a problem chopping up a vegetable into small pieces. But why have you done? It was before an apple, and now it's a smaller piece of apple. They haven't done any real change. In fact, there's a big machlokes to show them whether what toifen applies to. Does it apply only to wheat? Does it apply to all foods? Halacha l'maisa. Toifen applies, in Shinchof Alef Sifir Beis, the Mechaber says, any yerek, hachoytach yerek, dak, anyone who chops a vegetable into small pieces, since it's the normal way to chop the vegetable into small pieces, that is going to be an act of toifen. So we're going to have to beware. When we chop our onions now into fine pieces, that would be toifen. So we go, how will we get around this problem? So there's two ways. Firstly, the Rashba says that just like by boira, we found there was a heter, you'll have to do boira if it's the altar for media usage. So too, toifen, you could do toifen if it's for media usage. The Ramah brings that down, and the Ramah says you're allowed to chop to toifen after chop something up into small pieces if it's for media usage. So that would be a heter. In any case, if you peeled your onion Shabbos, we said you only could peel it if it's for the altar. So therefore, in any case, when you chop it, it'll also be the altar. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like the heter. The Mishnah Berurah brings down the Shulchan Gevurah, and it brings down those that argue on the Rashba. The Gemara never mentioned, brought down the heter of the altar by toifen. The Gemara only brought it down by boira. We can't, right? So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Ein limchos b'yad ha'makilim." If you see someone chopping his onions fine just before the meal, the altar, don't be moichot. That's not the place for kanos. They can rely on the Rashba. However, he says better not to rely on the heter of the altar. So what should you do according to Mishnah Berurah? Make sure the pieces are not so small. They should be larger. What? How large? The poskim don't give a clear definition. They should be larger than normal. That means if you chop your onions, you dice them normally really, really small, they should be larger than normal. So now in regard to chopping your onions, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you should chop them larger than normal. According to Ramah, and Ramah Shafanshin says you'll have to rely on the Ramah, as long as it's being done at the altar, that means, we said in the time preparation for the next meal, you're allowed to chop your onions into fine pieces. How about mashing the egg? You're allowed to mash the egg. Yes, you're allowed to mash the egg, even in small pieces, even if it's not altar. Why is that so? Because it's not kedoli kaka. It's not. So what's that? Where does this come from? There's no problem of toichen if it's a non-kedoli kaka. This is not harnessing klikat rule, and this is the way it goes. We explained, in the Mishkan, they did certain melachas. We don't have to replicate the melacha of the Mishkan in its entirety. For example, in the Mishkan, where was Kreitzer, let's say they chopped a piece of wheat. So is someone going to suggest that if someone takes an apple off a tree, that's not kreitzer because in the Mishkan they chopped wheat? Certainly not. The principle of kreitzer was separating a plant from its life sustenance, from the ground. So any time you do that, whether it's chopping an apple or chopping or cutting a flower, you've done kreitzer, as long as you're applying the principle. The principle of toifen, we said, was transforming something to a new usage by chopping up into small pieces, such as a piece of wheat. Making into flour, they could turn into bread. So therefore, just because in the Mishkan, toichen took place on gedulei kaka, on something which grew from the ground, it doesn't mean that toichen has to be on gedulei kaka. For example, someone hasn't got any teeth, and he can't eat a piece of chicken, and you're going to chop it into very fine pieces that he could eat it, so you made a new usage for him. Even though chicken is non-gedulei kaka, chicken doesn't grow from the ground, but as long as you've done this principle of toichen, you've transformed it to a new usage, you can be oyer toichen. However, something which is a non-gedulei kaka and it's really edible, such as an egg, which is a non-gedulei kaka, it's really edible, that won't have the principle of the Mishkan, because you're not doing a significant change. And it's also a non-gedulei kaka, it doesn't resemble what they did in the Mishkan Bechlal, so therefore there's no issa toichen. This is halacha. There's no problem to toichen on a non-gedulei kaka, which is edible. Therefore, the second stage, in regard to mashing your egg and chopping your onions. Chopping your onions, according to Mishnah Berurah, careful not to chop them too fine, even alter, make them slightly larger. According to Moshe Feinstein and the Ramah, and if you only rely on that, you'll have to chop them, as long as you're doing an alter, you'll have to chop them as fine as you want. Mashing your egg, you'll have to mash them as fine as you want, whenever you want. The last two problems, which we'll describe extremely briefly, are the problems of Losh and the problems of Ma'avid. We won't really define them Loshes, we'll just say how to avoid them. Losh is the Melacha of kneading. Making dough, there are two parts that we hold the Maisa, Machlokes Tanoim. There's two parts to Losh which are forbidden. When you make dough, you pour flour, water on the flour, and you knead the flour. There's two things taking place. When you pour water on the flour, you're combining the loose parts of flour, that's the first element of Melacha, pouring liquid onto soil. That would be the problem of pouring liquid onto soil on Shabbos other than Zriya, there's also the fact you're combining by pouring the liquid. That's the first element of Nisha. The second element of Nisha is the kneading, is the transformation. When you knead it, you're making them fuse together, the loose particles of flour fusing together and becoming Gush Echad. That is. So when you when you're mixing your egg with mayonnaise, so the person can say the first element of Losh, pouring water onto flour, doesn't apply. Because mayonnaise is so thick, it's not going to penetrate into the egg. The melacha of pouring water onto flour is because the water will penetrate the flour and then it'll combine. If you sneeze in front of a bowl of flour and your black hat's behind there, it'll change colour. But if you only put water on the flour, it's combined it. That's the first element of Losh. When you're putting mayonnaise on egg, there's no such problem. Mayonnaise is so thick, it's not penetrating. The problem, the potential problem of Losh by egg and mayonnaise would be when you're mixing it. When you're mixing it, you're combining all the pieces together and into one gush. Lemaisa, the Shmir Shabbos brings out of Shem Zahman and brings Seth Materium. You're allowed to mix your egg and onion with mayonnaise normally. They bring down the poskim. If you want to, someone wants to be machmir, he should be careful not to mix it in the regular fashion, which means in a circular manner. He should stir it chesi of erev. He should stir it like horizontal, like with a fork. He should mix it horizontal and then vertical, and make sure to remove your fork between each strike. Because if you're doing horizontal and then you're going to turn to vertical, you're going to go in a circle fashion. So therefore, lemaisa, just to apply the three heterium, the final melacha was ma'abed. Ma'abed, a brief definition, was the melacha of preserving leather. The way they made leather, in order to make leather usable, the first you have to do a long process, and the problem is on the leather, attached to leather, there's meat and there's fatty substances which will decompose. The first stage they did in ma'abed was they salted it, that it should last a long time. Midrabanon, Rabbanon said, if you salt vegetables, that's doima to ma'abed. So if someone wants to salt his onions before salt onions, there can be potentially a Isra Rabbanon ma'abed. A simple way out to solve the Isra Rabbanon ma'abed, if you salt your vegetables and immediately after that you pour on that your vinegar, your oil, or your mayonnaise, there won't be any problem with ma'abed. Therefore, if a person wants to salt his onions, if he's going to pour immediately on there his vinegar or his mayonnaise, he'll get around that problem. So a brief recap. The problems of boira, by making egg and onion, will always apply if one's not careful. When one peels the egg or peels the onion, simple way out to solve that, do it alta, which was in the time preparation of that meal. If a piece of shell falls in your egg and onion, make sure you take the shell with a little bit of egg. In regard to the problem of toichen, chopping an egg, mashing an egg is no problem. You can mash it whenever you want. In regard to chopping onion in small pieces, according to the Ramah and Ramosha, you're allowed to do so if it's close to the meal. According to Mishaburah, make sure you chop the onions in slightly larger pieces. Losh, we said you're allowed to put the mayonnaise on the egg. You're allowed to stir it normally. If a person wants to be machmeh, you shouldn't stir it in a circle fashion. You should do the shesiv erev. In regard to ma'abed, if you're going to salt onions, make sure that you salt them. You pour the mayonnaise straight away. To finish off with the Rosh Hashanah says, "V'shamru v'nei Yisrael es Shabbos, Klal Yisrael keep Shabbos, la'asos es Shabbos le'dayreisam." This will make that Shabbos, the Torah, will perpetuate, will continue for their generations. The question is, why has Shabbos got this power over any other mitzvah? Shabbos is a power that it keeps the Torah for generations. Why has Shabbos got this power over any other mitzvah? So we know now, especially in our turbulent age with chinuch, kids don't take very well to hearing rules and regulations. What they enjoy much more if they experience the warmth and the geschmack of a mitzvah, they actually see the beautiful part of the mitzvah. That's what brings kids and encourages kids to keep their mitzvahs. Shabbos is such a mitzvah. Shabbos is a mitzvah, the time we sit at a table with our family, we have geschmack of meals, we sing zmiras. That's a time when we could help the chinuch continue to the next generation. When Klal Yisrael keep Shabbos, that's last Yisrael Shabbos generation. That will keep Shabbos for all generations. Let's continue making our geschmack of food, our eye and seal on Shabbos. Let's enjoy it. And we should all be zoicha to last Yisrael Shabbos of the race, and to be able to mechanach our children grow.